This week's episode of Amateur Traveler is sponsored by Expedition Unknown. Do you know that there's proof that Robin Hood might have been a real person using underground passageways under England to rob the rich? Or that gold coins discovered on the beaches of Florida might be connected to a Spanish treasure fleet that sank in 1715? On the Expedition Unknown podcast from Discovery, Josh Gates travels the world to investigate history's greatest unsolved mysteries. He'll take you through Russia and Germany looking for stolen objects of great value pillaged by Nazis during World War II, to Nepal to uncover mysterious caves high up the mountains, or to Peru to uncover the meaning behind giant geoglyphs drawn into the earth hundreds of years ago. I met Josh and interviewed him on This Week in Travel. Now it's been 12 years ago. Can't believe it's been that long, but that tells you how long he has been out there looking for stories like he's sharing on the Expedition Unknown podcast. Travel the globe with Josh Gates as he investigates some of humanity's greatest feats and most iconic legends. Listen to Expedition Unknown where you get your podcasts. And thanks to Expedition Unknown for sponsoring this episode of Amateur Traveler. If you've listened to the show for any length of time, you know that I'm a big fan of connecting with locals when you're traveling someplace. If you're just going to be inside the tour bus, then you might as well stay home. The best parts of travel for me are when you get out into the marketplace or into the cafe where you meet the locals and have a chance to interact. If you're also looking to experience this, then check out Explore Worldwide, whose local tour leaders will get you off the beaten track and into the heart of the adventure, helping you get past being a tourist, experiencing local culture, and finding places you would not find by yourself. And isn't that what travel is all about? If you're thinking about your next adventure, head to exploreworldwide.com to find out more. Amateur Traveler, episode 880. Today, the Amateur Traveler is going to get our nerd on. We're going to talk about anime and Godzilla, ramen, temples, and more anime, shoguns, and still some more anime. As we go to Tokyo, Japan, this is Chris Christensen from Amateur Traveler. Let's talk about Tokyo. I'd like to welcome to the show Matthew Yashik, who's come to talk to us about Tokyo. Matthew Yashik, the nerd tourist. Matthew, welcome to the show.
Oh, thanks for having me.
And welcome to a fellow nerd, really is what I should be saying, as I think I could have grabbed that name years ago. But welcome. What is your connection with Tokyo?
Tokyo is one of my favorite places in the world. I've been to it three times so far. I'm about to go back this upcoming spring. I like it a lot because it's got history, it's got culture, it's got food, and then it's got nerd stuff. So that is one of the reasons I go to visit.
And we may be talking about nerd stuff, I'm guessing, here from the brand.
Yes, I will fit in a bunch of nerd stuff. That's the reason why I go there. But I recognize not everybody is a nerd, or not everybody is as big a nerd as I am. So like the key is to finding activities that appeal to everyone.
Why should someone go to Tokyo?
Gosh, it's got so much history. It's got so much culture. It's got so much food, so much crazy, delicious food. And then it's got giant robots. It's got real life locations you can see that have been featured in anime. So it's just got all sorts of activities, all sorts of ventures that could be had for anyone who is nerdy or maybe even not quite so nerdy to enjoy in this city.
Excellent. Where are you going to start us? What kind of itinerary are you going to recommend for us?
Your first day, you're probably landing in the afternoon and you're probably just getting to your hotel. Unfortunately, it's far, especially from the United States. So you lose like a day, maybe even a day and a half to get there.
So, you cross the international date line too. Yep.
So the first thing you need to do, if you can, after you finding your hotel, is to get on a food tour. And if you can't get on a food tour, try to find yourself a guide that will take you to a restaurant. Dining culture in Japan, it's similar but different, and I found it very comforting to have a tour guide help me through all the little nuances and stuff like that.
And do you have a tour or tour guide that you're recommending?
I don't have a tour, but I do have a tour guide. One of my favorite tour guides, her name is Hirai, is her last name. Her first name is Aya. She said we could call her Aya if you want. She lived in America for 5 years, and she really understands Americans. And to me, that was very comforting. It's really great having someone that could really efficiently bridge the gap between the two cultures. And there's so many great tour guides in Tokyo. Aya just made it extra comforting connecting us like that.
Okay. And if you have it, we can put her contact info in the show notes.
Yes. Yeah.
And when you say a food tour, you have done this before. So what kind of things did you do on your food tour?
Just your standard issue. There's a lot of, especially like ramen food tours. There's one guy that will take you to all the best ramen spots. There's people that do just general food tours. So you get a great little overview of Japanese food, which might be great if you're not totally familiar with Japanese food to get a good sample of everything.
Okay. And when you say a ramen food tour, having eaten ramen from the grocery store ramen and having eaten ramen in Tokyo, I find that they share the same name, but it's not quite the same experience.
Oh, no. Man, the ramen you eat in Tokyo, it will take you to another world. That's the thing you'll do the first night. So the second day, what you'd like to do in the morning is to go visit the Tsukuji food stalls. I think it's one of the must experiences in Tokyo. And it's a bunch of food stalls all around. But what used to be the tuna market, but now it's its own attraction.
Oh, okay. All right. Now that I know what area you're talking about. Got it.
Yes. Yeah. I think it's technically called the Tsukuji Outer Market once they moved it, the inner market away. It does open at 6. So if you needed to get there early, it's an option. It does get pretty crowded. We were there at 10 a.m. and it was fairly crowded. So if you're traveling with folks who might be sensitive to crowds, it might be easier to get there as early as possible. Keep an eye out for this stall that sells grilled eel. This grilled eel will change your life. It is magical.
Okay.
And if you see these fruits that are like on a stick and they're covered in sugar, just be cautious because that sugar is very hard, and if you just bite into it, you might end up hurting your teeth. And that might or might not have been an experience of mine.
Okay.
And that should basically keep you going through the morning.
Do you have a favorite morning food that we're having at the food market there? You mentioned the eel.
The eel was great.
I'm not sure if eel is the breakfast of champions for me. But
it is a bit much in the morning. I didn't find any breakfasty food. But the eel was great. There was these great tuna croquettes. There was ice cream. If you wanted some ice cream, that was an option.
Okay. We, in fact, have recommended on this show before, get up early and go to the tuna auction. They're pretty much discouraging that now, and they also moved it away from where it used to be.
That's my understanding as well.
Okay. Excellent. Where are we going after the Tsukuji Outer Market?
So in the afternoon, you probably want to go to Sensoji. That is the big red temple that you've seen in all the pictures. It's also a can't miss location. It's got the famous gate. It's got these famous sandals. It's got more
sandals.
Yes, they're hanging on the back of the famous gate.
Okay, I don't remember that. Okay.
And there's a little place where for a small donation, you can shake a big metal container and get a stick that'll have a Japanese numerals on it, and then you can pick your fortune out of a little drawer. And these fortunes are in multiple languages, so you shouldn't have a problem reading it. There's also a few more food stalls there, so if you're still not full from the morning, you can check stuff out. I saw one of the food stalls, I didn't try it because I was still full, was those cheese pastries that are in the shape of a 10 yen coin that are getting popular on Instagram at the moment.
I do not know these.
I've just been seeing influencers eating them because I guess they're very pretty.
Okay.
So what many people may not be aware of it, that in anime, if it's based in a more modern Japan, a lot of the backgrounds and locations in these animes are actually based on real sites that you can visit in Japan. And for a lot of people, that is one of the main attractions to checking out Tokyo. For me, it's really fun seeing a spot in your favorite movie. Like if for fans of The Lost Boys, going to the Santa Cruz boardwalk. It's really fun seeing a spot from your favorite anime in real life.
Okay.
And there's a very famous anime right now called Demon Slayer. It's pretty popular, but unfortunately it's based in the 1900s. So there's not a lot of real opportunities to see scenes from that anime on account of just so long ago. But in Asakusa, the neighborhood around Sensoji, it does resemble the spot where the main character, the hero, met the main villain for the first time.
Okay.
And that's something for any nerds in your party. And that's about it for the afternoon. So I've got two possible evening activities, and you can do them whenever you have a free evening, but you got to do them at night because there's cool stuff at night.
Okay.
The first one is Odaiba. It's a man-made island with futuristic buildings. It also has a giant robot statue, which is a life-sized RX-0 Unicorn Gundam from the Gundam Wing franchise. This is not the moving one.
Now,
go ahead.
Why are you doing it at night?
You want to see it at night because it lights up every 30 minutes between the hours of 7:30 and 9:30.
Okay.
But if you do get there in the day, know that it transforms into attack mode at 11 a.m., 1, 3, and 5 p.m.
Okay. I did not know.
Yeah, it's okay. Really cool. It is 60 feet tall. It's just really impressive. I am not entirely too familiar with the Gundam franchise, but just looking at this giant robot was really cool.
The other thing I would recommend, nerd or not, in Odaiba is the Mori Building Digital Art Museum, which is interactive digital art. And so on your wall is some artwork. When you go up to it, if it's a waterfall and you put your hand on the wall, the water flows around your hand, for instance. Or there's even a place where kids can draw their own fish and it will be displayed on a virtual aquarium. So great fun. And also in Odaiba, but that one you have to get there during the daytime.
That sounds really rad. I didn't know about that.
Toyota also has a showcase there as if it were a World's Fair, the MegaWeb Toyota City showcase there where you can see futuristic cars and things like that. Odaiba is almost like a permanent World's Fair kind of exhibit. So a number of different interesting things there.
Yes, Odaiba is really awesome. I recommend checking it out. Another perk of going at night is that you can see the Rainbow Bridge all lit up.
Okay.
And for fans of the anime Oshinoko, in front of the Rainbow Bridge is where Aqua kissed Akane. And that might not mean like much to some folks, but for Oshinoko fans, it's going to be really exciting.
Okay. Where to next?
So the next day in the morning, I recommend doing the Shibuya Scramble. I know it's kind of cliche, but it's still fun. I liked it a lot. Shibuya is the giant train station, and it's got the giant crossing in front of it. I believe 10 million people cross it every day. Maybe not that many, because there's only 32 million people in Tokyo.
Like that'd be too much. But
it's one of the most biggest traveled crossings in the world. It's got the statue of Hachiko, the very loyal dog that waited for his master after his master tragically had a heart attack at work. Mm-hmm. And this crossing has been seen in so many anime. Fans of Tokyo Revengers will recognize it from the very first episode.
Also fans of
Lost in Translation.
The fans of Lost in Translation, exactly.
Yes. Yes. Every tour guide I've ever had in Japan will mention Lost in Translation. It's a very popular movie.
And is there anything specific you want to do while we're there?
Yes. If you cross the street to the Starbucks, I know it seems weird recommending you visit an American coffee shop in Japan, but if you go to the second floor of this Starbucks, you can actually get a good view above the crossing if you wanted to get some pictures. Okay. And stuff like that. I was told that I also needed to try the Sakura Frappuccino. I did not have the opportunity to do it that last time. And there's also another opportunity for fans of Oshinoko, because inside that Starbucks is where the character I was recruited to join her idol group.
Okay. Those words meant nothing to me, but all right.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. I should have specified I'm a big nerd, Chris.
That's okay. Actually, the other thing that I would recommend there, if you're at the right where the dog's tail statue is that you were talking about, Hachiko. Thank you. Right across from that is the Tokyo Food Show, which is a department store, but there's a great basement with amazing different collections of food there that is worth stopping, even if it's just to gawk.
Oh, that's rad. I'm writing that down. I did not know that. So after you had your coffee, I think the next thing to do is to walk to Harajuku Station. It's only one stop, so you could go down back into the train station, but then it's only one stop. Okay. It no longer looks like the Alpine Chalet it used to look like, which is a bummer because I really liked the way it looked. When you get to Harajuku Station, to your left will be the entrance to the Meiji Shrine, which I highly recommend going into it. It's really awesome. It really does feel like you're in a forest in the middle of the city.
And this is dedicated to the Emperor Meiji, who led the modernization of Japan in the 1800s.
Yes. It's really an impressive looking shrine. I highly recommend everyone checking it out. After you leave the Meiji Shrine, just across the street will be Takeshita Street, which is once a famous teen fashion spot. It's looking a little bit less vibrant now. I don't know if COVID just did a number on it, or it's based on youth culture. So as the youths grow up, maybe the younger children aren't into it as much. But it still did have several crepe shops. It had a Pompurin cafe. Pompurin is the dog in a beret from Hello Kitty. Okay. And it had a Shiba Inu cafe, so you could drink coffee with the Shiba Inu dogs.
Okay.
And just up the street a little bit farther is a cafe called Cafe Reissue. And it's one of about a dozen or so cafes that specialize in latte art. And you can get art in 2D or 3D with foam and stuff like that. And because it's Tokyo, they specialize a lot in anime characters or video game characters. You can drink like a Pikachu latte and stuff like that. It's really cool. It does take a long time because they're actually making the art, but it's a good way to just sit down and rest for a little bit. And if you're there in the summer when it's really hot, it might be a good way to get into the air conditioning for a little bit.
Okay. Well, speaking of that, do you have a recommendation for when to visit?
Yes, actually, obviously, spring is good. There is a noticeable difference in price when you're there during cherry blossom season. I had to schedule my trip a little bit earlier just because the plane tickets were a bit too much. Fall is also a great time. In late November, early December is when the trees in Tokyo start changing colors. And you can start seeing some real vibrant colors. I have not been there yet during that time, but it's so much on my bucket list to be there.
Yeah, I have been there. I spent Thanksgiving there, where the closest thing we could find to American Thanksgiving was KFC, which let's not talk about that. But I don't honestly remember the colors as much in Tokyo at that time, but that time in Kyoto was a gorgeous time to be there. Definitely an interesting time. I've been to Tokyo also in winter in February, which wasn't bad. They don't tend to get snow, although I did find that when they get an inch of snow, they shut down. Largely, they can't handle snow. So that was an interesting time to be there as well.
This episode of Amateur Traveler is sponsored by ButcherBox. The best meals start with the best ingredients, and ButcherBox has high-quality meat and seafood you can trust. They have 100% grass-fed beef, free-range organic chicken, pork-raised crate-free, and wild-caught seafood. Humanely raised, no antibiotics or added hormones. Delivered right to your doorstep with free shipping always. If you're looking for inspiration what to do with a fine cut of meat, they provide recipe inspiration, guides, tips, and hacks. I think it's time for me personally to up my game on what I can do with a good steak. But email me and I'll send you my port wine reduction and blue cheese sauce recipe that is to die for. That'll go well with your first order. ButcherBox is giving our listeners free ground beef for life for your membership, plus an additional $20 off your first order. Use my link, butcherbox.com/traveler, and use code TRAVELER to get free ground beef for life, plus $20 off your first box. That's butcherbox.com/traveler and code TRAVELER. And thanks to ButcherBox for sponsoring this episode of Amateur Traveler.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I also heard that the week after Christmas is also great. It's supposed to have perfect weather conditions for seeing Mount Fuji. Obviously, you can't be up there then. It'll be a little bit scary. But I gave you two options for the afternoon trip, depending on the interests of your group. The first one I haven't done yet. It's something I'm going to do with my next trip. And that is to visit the neighborhood of Ekibukuro.
Okay.
Ekibukuro is rapidly becoming the new anime headquarters of Tokyo. The previous neighborhood that was ground zero for nerd stuff was Akihabara, but Ekibukuro mm-hmm. is rapidly replacing it. Bukuro has a 10-story anime store. It's got an anime museum opening soon. The romance anime, My Dress Up Darling, has a lot of scenes that take place there, and you can find resources to go see all these spots in person. But if that stuff's not really something you're into, there's also the Sunshine City Building Complex, which has an aquarium, has an observation deck. It's got something called Namja Town, which is an amusement park, but all the amusements are in Japanese. But they do have an option where you can just get admission tickets. And these admission tickets for get you option to one, something they call the Gyoza Coliseum, which is just a whole bunch of different flavors of gyoza, little dumplings. And then it has a dessert food court. And for fans of Pokemon, there is a Pikachu's Sweets. It's a takeout cafe, so you can get little drinks and little snacks from the Pokemon company themselves.
Okay.
And that's option one for the afternoon. Option two is Nakano Broadway. It's a traditional shopping street, which has the best traditional ramen I've ever had. Unfortunately, I don't know the name of the restaurant, but if you're walking up Nakano Broadway, it is the first shop and on your left, and it was the best. Every bowl of ramen I've had since then, I've been just chasing that high. A perk for the more dorky amongst us is at the end of Nakano Broadway is a 4-story mall, and it doesn't have traditional stores as most malls. It's got a whole bunch of resale shops for the opportunity to pick up collectibles of all types, not just anime, video games, or toys or anything like that. It has the opportunity to pick up some Japanese sports cards. So if you're a fan of Japanese baseball, this is a great place for you. Some toy cars. It's got, weirdly enough, a bunch of luxury watches. So if you got people in your party that want to collect luxury watches, this would be a great place to check it out. But another super awesome place is in the basement where they have a famous soft serve ice cream shop. Okay. And you can get 7 flavors of soft serve all stacked in a giant cone for only 900 yen. This is very delightful place to take your picture and enjoy some soft serve with some really crazy flavors like cola and stuff like that.
Okay.
And that's good for the afternoon. The second evening activity I have for you is a visit to Shimokitazawa. Shimokitazawa is a hip, walkable neighborhood. It's got vintage shops everywhere. It's got a lot of Vietnamese restaurants. If you want to get banh mi or pho, this is your place to do it. It's got a famous crepe shop called Andrea Crepes that has been in business for 40 years. And when I was there, the line was across the street.
Okay.
But I think the highlight for nerds is that it's also the setting of an anime called Bocchi the Rock. It's a story about girls joining a rock band. And in this neighborhood, the music venue from the anime is based on a real life music venue. And you can go down there and see live music. They specialize in indie rock, garage rock, rockabilly, and punk. It's a very small venue, so it might sell out. So you might need to get some advanced tickets. And to get advanced tickets, you'll need a Japanese phone number. And that's when you can reach out to Aya, because she helped me buy my tickets. She helped me make it to the venue. And she helped me enjoy an evening of seeing live music while, I guess, basically living one of my favorite animes. So it was a lot of fun.
Okay. I didn't know that rockabilly, for instance, was a thing that you could find in Tokyo, but I'm seeing that it is. Yeah.
So day 4 is Nerd Day. This is where... Yeah.
Okay.
This is for...
I thought we were already doing that, but okay.
No, this is specifically for Nerd Day. Hopefully before the trip, you discussed with your friends and family what kind of nerd activities they want to do. Because there's a bunch of different ones. Yep. There's a bunch of varieties you can do. And this is probably the day you're like, if you limit it to one day, you can control the overall nerdiness of the trip. And okay. There's a bunch of different options. A couple of suggestions that I have is, one, to tour Akihabara, the place I was mentioning earlier that is ground zero for nerdiness. Mm-hmm. With a local otaku. Otaku is just Japanese equivalent of nerd. And it's really great because you're connecting with the area with someone who lived the area. And there's about a half dozen or so tours of these on Airbnb Experience. Okay. The one that I have done is I've taken the Akihabara hipster tour twice. And the host was very charming. She makes the experience fun for everybody. The second time I used this tour, there was a mom who was clearly only there for her teenage son, and she obviously didn't care anything about anime and video games, but even she had a great time. So I think it's a great way to really just invest in the nerd culture, really connect the nerd culture of Tokyo.
Okay.
Another thing you can do.
And when you say go to, and I pronounce it differently than you, what kind of things are we going to see there?
Oh, in Akihabara, it is chock full of shops and anime shops, video game shops, both new and used, which is kind of cool because you can see, for fans who grew up playing Nintendo, you can see really old school Famicom games, which was the Japanese equivalent of Nintendo. It's a lot of nostalgia for folks like me. There's a giant 7-story video arcade you can visit.
Okay. I remember a lot of people, characters on the streets or maids on the streets promoting different cafes like maid cafes and people dressed as Pikachu and things like that as, when we were there as well.
Yes, there are a few maid cafes. Not so many cosplayers so much anymore.
Okay.
That's the thing that's mostly migrating over to Ikebukuro now, where it's stealing the thunder of Akihabara. I love Akihabara. It's where I stay. It's just so much fun to be able to step out of my hotel and straight into nerd culture.
Okay.
So another option you can do on Nerd Day is visit real-life anime locations. There are several resources online, so you can actually look up spots from your favorite anime. There are many groups that will do this for you. A lot of influencers will do this for you. I like the Instagram TikToker Otaku in Tokyo. She's a UK resident who's in Tokyo, and she does a lot of like stuff on Instagram and TikTok about recent anime. There's also a YouTuber called Daily Otaku Life who does YouTube videos. He is a Japanese man living in Tokyo, so you can find some really neat stuff. His videos are in Japanese, but YouTube's closed captioning will put them in English for you. And it's just a great way to find spots of whatever particular anime you're interested in, because there's just so many out there and where to go. For fans of Studio Ghibli, there's a Studio Ghibli museum you can visit. Getting advanced tickets is a little bit annoying. You need to log on to the Lawson's website on the 10th of the month before the month that you'll be there at 10 a.m. Tokyo time. And then you'll be competing with everybody that wants tickets for the entire month. And the website's not really equipped to handle that kind of workload. So it'll keep crashing. And you've got to keep hitting refresh and hope you get lucky. I have never been able to get tickets this way, but I've met someone that did. And she just said, just keep hitting refresh and keep hoping you get lucky. There are tour companies providing alternatives where they will buy your ticket for you. And then they'll take you out there on a bus and they'll serve you lunch and they'll maybe give you a little history and they'll come take you back afterwards. If I can't get the advance tickets the way I just mentioned, I'm going to just bite the bullet and pay for a tour company to take me there. But other Ghibli-related activities, there's the Totoro no Mori, which was the forest that was the inspiration for the children's animated film My Neighbor Totoro. That movie really struck a nerve with the folks of Japan, and they were so moved, they put together a trust that bought the forest and then has turned it into a nature retreat. I haven't done it yet, but there's an easy walk around a lake, but it is about an hour and a half out of Tokyo. So it'll be like a good morning kind of thing to do.
Okay.
Another Studio Ghibli option is the Shirohige Cream Puff Factory and the Tolo Cafe. And the Shirohige Cream Puff, it's more of a bakery. It's not an actual factory, but it's the only place in Tokyo you can get the cream puffs. You've had a train station cream puff, right?
I have not had a train station
cream puff. Oh, man. Train station cream puffs are the best. And it's just a really flaky pastry with a vanilla custard inside it. So it's not like a vanilla cream that I expected. It was way more mellow and way more exciting. But the Shirohige Cream Puff Factory is the only place in Tokyo you can get a cream puff in the shape of a Totoro, a nature spirit from My Neighbor Totoro.
Okay.
Also, is the Nitelli really big clock. It was designed by the founder and I guess the main creative force of Studio Ghibli, Miyazaki Hayao. And at noon, 3, 6, and 8, it'll come alive and there'll be little vignettes, little things, activities happening. Say if you were seeing the clock in Prague. And at
okay, I was going to say this looks like some of the European clockwork things. Okay.
And at 10 a.m. on weekends, too, is another option.
Okay.
Another option is the Tokyo Skytree, and there is a very good argument that it is a bit overrated, but for fans of the anime Licorice Recoil, it was the inspiration for the destroyed tower, and any scene from that anime featuring the destroyed tower is going to be replaceable by the Skytree. You can see it all around there. There's also a Kirby Cafe for fans of the Nintendo character Kirby. You do need reservations, and they book like a month in advance. This is on the first of the month. You just check out and try to get reservations.
I would say, too, if you're going up the Skytree, not because it was an anime, but for the view, there's a couple other options, like the Metropolitan Government Building has an observation deck on the 45th floor in both the North and South Tower, and that's free. And then there's also a great view from the brewery, the Asahi Beer Headquarters. There's a great view back over some of the areas of Eastern Tokyo. And that's also free if you buy a beer or something to eat or drink there in that. And it's right along the river as well.
So that's awesome. I didn't know about the Asahi thing, but I am glad you mentioned the Tokyo Metropolitan Building, because I was going to mention that as a free alternative. It looks like right now the North Tower is closed, but they
good.
They are opening the South Tower up every day, because originally they were alternating it. But you do need to check, because every other Monday and every other Tuesday, I guess alternating, the South Tower will be closed. Oh, it does.
Interesting.
Yeah, they changed the time, because the first time I was there, it opened at 8:30, but now it's opening at 9:30, so it's a little bit later. Mm-hmm. I do like the Municipal Metropolitan Building, because you are closer to Mount Fuji, so you get like a way better view of it, and I liked it a lot. And for fans of the action comedy anime The Devil is a Part-Timer, there's a fight that takes place on top of the Metropolitan Building. And they actually destroyed that little water fountain that's right in front of it. For Godzilla fans, the website Tokyo Cheapo has a great self-guided Godzilla tour that will take you to all the Godzilla statues in Tokyo, including the Shin Godzilla statue. It starts you with the Shin Godzilla statue, and it ends up with a giant Godzilla head in Shinjuku. The giant Godzilla head in Shinjuku will blow smoke and play music every hour, and it's really exciting because you just turn down the street that they call Godzilla Avenue and you just see a giant Godzilla head looking at back at you.
Okay.
You can go visit it. It's on top of Hotel Gracery. They do recommend that you get a drink or a meal at the cafe inside the hotel, because you'll take an elevator to the 8th floor and there'll be a cafe right in front of the Godzilla head. Also, if you're looking for the Godzilla head, on Godzilla Avenue is where that 3D billboard of the cat that maybe you've seen on social media, that's right there. You don't have to be a Godzilla fan to go on this little tour.
Okay.
And the last thing I recommend is to go eat monja yaki. Monja yaki, it's very similar to okonomiyaki with a savory Japanese pancake. You do cook it yourself. Some restaurants will do for okonomiyaki.
Oh.
It's a little bit runnier.
Never cooked it myself. Okay.
I found it when they knew I was a foreigner, they would cook it for me. But for monja yaki, you cook it yourself. You put all the vegetables that you order in a little circle. You'll pour the batter in the middle because it's a lot runnier than okonomiyaki. Okay. And then you chop it up, stir it up. And then as it caramelizes, you just scrape it up with these little spatulas and you eat it. It's a very social activity. I always see folks just getting together, having a good old time and having a beer or two. There was two anime that went out to eat for monja yaki. So anyone who watched Your Boy Kong Ming or Otaku Elf, this is the food they were eating. And near Tsukuji is an entire street called Monja Street, which is just monja yaki restaurants.
Okay.
That's some of your options for Nerd Day.
Okay. I feel like you haven't done the nerdiest thing that I've done in Tokyo, which is Mario Kart.
So Mario Kart's had some interesting things happen to it.
Okay.
Nintendo didn't appreciate the copyrights or them using the characters. So they did make them change that part of the aspect. But they still go around. You can still do go-kart experiences.
Driving through Tokyo.
Driving through Tokyo into all the sites. It's not branded anymore. So if you were hoping...
No, I think it was Mario Kart when I was there. But you could dress up as various characters from various franchises. and drive through Tokyo, including right through Shibuya Crossing several times. We did it on a Sunday when there was less traffic and more people on the street. And honestly, it was my wife's favorite thing. She still just laughs thinking about the whole thing. I just thought the whole idea was ludicrous, but the whole family loved it. And you do need an international driver permit if you're going to do it.
Yes. Is it hard to get one? My friend is interested in doing that.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
Hey, my name's Otis Gray, host of the Daily Book Club, a daily podcast where I read wonderful old books one chapter at a time. Simple as that. Whether you want to get engaged and lost in a fascinating story that has stood the test of time, or just relax to a good book, listen to the Daily Book Club to get wrapped up or unwind during your day. We'll read classic stories like Pride and Prejudice, The Enchanted April, The Wind in the Willows, beautiful stories all told from start to finish. And you can even do a real book club. Tune into the Daily Book Club Discord and discuss the readings with other book club listeners. However you want to listen, it's your choice. Subscribe to the Daily Book Club on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere else. New episodes every single day. So sit back, relax, and get lost in the Daily Book Club.
Now, the international driver's permit, if you're in the U.S., go to your local AAA. It's really just a piece of paper. It's nothing official about it. It's free. It isn't so much that it's a license as so much it puts the information from your regular license in a standard format so that it can be consumed by people internationally.
That is good to know. My friend was very interested in doing that, and nice to pass that information on to them.
And what are we doing our non-nerd day then, the next?
Oh, gosh. There's a tinge of nerdiness to this one right here, too. But day five is a trip to Kamakura. Kamakura is one of my favorite places in the world. It's such a great beach community. I got to see a guy riding a bicycle while carrying a surfboard in his arm. It was really neat. Of course, you got the great temples. You got the great Budo at Kotaku Inn. You got Hasadera. You got the Zeni Arai Benten Shrine, where you wash your money.
And we're not talking about money laundering here, but you wash your money for good luck.
And there's also the Ohokokuji Bamboo Forest Temple, where it's got a little bamboo forest you can wander in through.
Beautiful.
It's gorgeous, and you can get in for 400 yen, but for an extra 600 yen, you can drink tea at the little tea house in the back, and that was a magical experience. I really liked that a lot. If you happen to be there in April, the Kamakura Festival is the second weekend to the third weekend in April. But you need to check it out because last year when I was there, they had moved it to May. So just be advised. Okay. And then if you're there in the fall on September 14th, 15th, and 16th is Suragaoka Hachimangu Rete Sai Festival. And it's like a samurai festival. And like the highlight is the 16th where you get to watch them do horseback archery.
Okay.
And I haven't done it yet. I really want to. Oh, man. But it's still hot in September in the Tokyo area.
And we didn't say this. So Kamakura is a seaside town, as you mentioned, easy train ride from Tokyo. So we don't need a car to get there. Although to get around to, for instance, out to the Bamboo Forest is a long walk, so it might be easier to grab a car service or something to get out to a couple of those different temples.
They have a very nice bus system that will take you to the Bamboo Forest.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, and it uses the same Passmo card that you use in Tokyo.
Good to know.
Also in Kamakura, because it was the head of the first shogun of Japan. And this is what I really geek out about. Even more than anime and video games. But yeah, the first shogun in Japan, Minamoto no Yoritomo, you can actually go visit his gravesite.
Okay.
He defeated the Taira in a very important civil war that took place in 1180 to 1185. It's been immortalized in the epic poem, The Tale of Heike. And Heike is just another reading of the name Taira. There was a very recent anime called The Heike Story, which kind of reenacts the entire Tale of Heike epic poem. But it didn't have a very good flattering portrayal of Yoritomo or his wife, Hojo no Masako. It treats them like Macbeth and Lady Macbeth. They made him as a coward and his wife as the main instigator. But she's also a very famous person in Japanese history. She had the nickname the Nun Shogun, because after Yoritomo had died young, she and her family basically ran the country on behalf of the Shogun. Okay. And you can go visit her grave at Gyeonzan Anyoin Chororaku-ji Temple. And you can't miss this temple. It's on the main drag, so you can visit it without any problems. Also on the main drag, of course, is the Hachiman-gu Shrine, which is a shrine to the war god Hachiman. It's the big red shrine that you walked up after walking down the main streets.
Oh, yeah.
One of my favorite parts of Kamakura is that it's one end of the Enoshima Electric Railway, which you might see called the Enoden.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. And it's this really cool-looking retro train that takes you up and down the coast. If you've ever seen, like, maybe a picture of a train traveling next to the ocean in Japan, it's probably this train. And it's been featured in the opening of the famous anime Slam Dunk, a basketball anime that took place in Kamakura, and it was responsible for popularizing anime in Japan.
Okay.
I think it's a great day trip. There's so much cool stuff you can do in Kamakura. I love it. I highly recommend it. I think it's completely unmissable. You can't miss it if you're in Tokyo at all.
I've got a blog post about things to do in Tokyo if you had 4 days, and one of them was go to Kamakura. So I'm singing from the same song.
That's awesome. Yeah. Day six is another day trip. It's to a place I hadn't heard anybody talking about, and I only found out about it because I saw on an anime. But it is a trip to Enoshima Island. It is in the general vicinity of Kamakura. You would travel from Tokyo down to Fujiwara Station, which is the other end of the Enoshima Electric Railroad. So you get to ride it twice, which is one of my favorite things to do.
Okay.
but before you get on the Enoshima Electric Railway, you need to walk about 15 minutes to the Shirahata Shrine. There's a couple of Shirahata Shrines, but this one in Fujisawa is dedicated to the legendary warrior Minamoto no Yoshitsune. He is the half-brother of Minamoto no Yoritomo, and he's the one who basically won the war for his brother.
Okay.
He's a very famous character in Japanese history. He's considered a tragic hero because after the war, he fought with his brother, and he lost. Okay. I did not see the shrine. I found out about it like right after I got back home from my last trip, and I'm like, oh, I got to go see it.
Okay.
After you see the shrine, you can get on the Enoshima Electric Railway and then ride that to Enoshima Islands. It's about 5 stops from Fujisawa. And essentially, you'll just take this long road across a causeway and onto the island. And the whole island is really just one long road that'll eventually take you to some sea caves with some sacred statues. And when you get to the sea cave, you can actually explore it by candlelight. They give you a candle and you walk through these sea caves. Okay. But along the way, you'll pass like a vintage denim shop that has a soft serve kiosk that sells blue colored soft serve. And you can get this soft serve in a cone, or you can do this one option, which I didn't do, and I'm regretting not doing it. You can get it served in a hot dog bun.
Okay.
Also, you'll pass a shrine complex, but I'm going to come back to that in a second. You'll pass a taco senbai shop, a taco octopus senbei cracker. So it's like takoyaki just cooked flat into a really thin sheet of paper. And they use like these really cool pressure cookers that cook it right in front of you.
Okay.
You also pass a path to the Dragon Bell, where according to legend, a 5-headed dragon fell in love with the local goddess, but he was a jerk, so she wouldn't marry him until he cleaned up his act, and he converted to Buddhism, and they got married. And now there's a bell where the legend says a couple that rings the bell together will stay together forever.
Okay.
And it's a nice spot overlooking the sea. There's a little spot for you to set your camera so you can get a picture of yourself ringing the bell together. There's a couple of fences with holes in them so you can do a little lock of love if you wanted to do that, or you lock your little padlock together. And if you didn't bring a Lock of Love with you, you can actually buy one from a gift shop that's just up the path a little bit longer. You also come to a botanical garden with the famous Sea Candle Lighthouse. It's this unique looking lighthouse that you can go to the top by elevator. You'll find several restaurants selling a local delicacy called Shirasu Don. And what it is, it's a bunch of white bait, so anchovy fries or sardine fries.
Okay.
Served broiled or raw over rice. It's a bit fishy, but I recommend trying it. It's just I felt it was a good way to experience local culture. And from one of these restaurants, you should, weather permitting, have a good view of Mount Fuji. The weather conditions weren't right for me to see Mount Fuji on my trip, but maybe you'll get lucky and get a great view of Mount Fuji.
Okay.
And okay, so going back to that shrine complex I mentioned earlier, it's actually three shrines that are merged into one, and it's all called the Enoshima Shrine. According to legend, Hojo no Tokimasa, the father of Hojo no Masako I mentioned earlier, was praying at the shrine for good luck for his family. While he was there, a mysterious woman appeared to him, told him that because he was pious in a past life, his family's going to have great luck now. And then she gave him three scales, like fish scales or dragon scales, not like weighing stuff scales.
Okay.
And these three scales became the clan symbol of the Hojo family. And I'm not sure if anyone's familiar with the Hojo family clan symbol, but it's three equilateral triangles in a pyramid shape with an empty space in the middle. Now, a bunch of old school Nintendo fans are thinking, wait a minute, three triangles in a pyramid? That seems very familiar. That's right. The Hojo clan symbol is the inspiration for the Triforce for The Legend of Zelda. You can go visit a shrine that was the birthplace for the Triforce for The Legend of Zelda. And as an old school Nintendo fan, that brought me so much joy.
Okay.
And that is, I think, a great, spectacular way. The views from the island of this ocean, it's just spectacular. I'm not used to the power of the ocean, so just watching the waves crash, it's wow, this is really magical. That, I think, is a great way to spend day six. You might have a bonus day due to the travel conditions and stuff like that, so I recommend ditching the nerdy stuff and just do travel stuff, just do tourism stuff. Go find yourself a tea ceremony. There's a couple of ones you can do that you can actually rent a kimono and experience a traditional tea ceremony while traditionally dressed. You can,
okay,
if you're in the right there at the right time, you can try to see a sumo match. But if you can't, you can check around to see if a sumo stables are doing, let you witness a practice. Mm-hmm. You can go catch a baseball game because Japanese baseball, I guess, is next level stuff. There's an Airbnb experience where you can take a vintage tram to Gotokuji, which is the temple that invented the beckoning cat statue. The cat with the paw out.
Oh, thank you. Now I got you. Yes.
Yes. And I haven't done it yet, but like the picture of this temple is just chock full of all those little statues. And I'm like, that's so cool. This particular Airbnb experience gives you opportunities for snacks and give you local history of the area. There's also an Airbnb experience where it's a tattoo-friendly Tokyo bathhouse tour.
Because tattoos are frowned upon and are usually a symbol of the Yakuza, this is a place that you can go that you won't have problems.
Yes. The guide says he'll take you to two different bathhouses.
Okay.
I haven't done this particular tour, but I did go to a bathhouse my first time in Tokyo, and it is very relaxing. I highly recommend it, and I'm very glad that this tour guide will take you to places that allow tattoos, because I have tattoos.
Okay.
But these are just options to do on your bonus day for any day seven activities you might need to do.
Excellent. One thing you didn't mention, but you were talking a lot about the Edo period, the period when Tokyo was a shogunate. A great place to learn more about that, if you don't know about that, is the Edo Museum in Tokyo. So if you are interested in that time period and you are a museum goer, I would recommend the Edo Museum.
That sounds awesome. Yeah, I saw that your previous guest had mentioned that. I was like, I got to check that out.
Excellent. I think that wraps up your itinerary. Anything else that people generally need to know before they go to Tokyo?
Yes, there's a couple of apps you should probably look at. One of them is a web-based only app, and it's called the Visit Japan app. You used to have to fill it out with your vaccine information, but now that's not necessary. But it's basically where you put all your customs and your declarations and all that kind of stuff.
Okay.
And it'll give you a QR code, and you just scan it, and you go through that part of immigration.
Okay.
Also, there's an app called Table Check, which is probably where you want to go if you want to get reservations. Table Check, all one word. And then if you want to have a little bit of fun, there's an app called Line, which is, I guess, Japan's homegrown version of WhatsApp, if you want to keep in contact with anybody you meet in Japan. But it's also just a fun way to communicate. It's got stickers. It's got all sorts of unique Japanese messaging options. And like for me and my friend, we can text each other. Our phones worked fine, but we chose to communicate with Line while we were there just to really feel like a local.
Okay.
I recommend staying in Akihabara. It is ground zero for nerdiness, and it's great to stay there because any sort of downtime you might have, any nerdy members of your group can go exploring without taking them a lot of time. If you needed to, I don't know, take a kid back for a nap and you only have an hour or two after lunch, they can go out and go see things that maybe not the entire party wants to go see. You will be walking a lot. So maybe you need to start walking early if you're not used to it. I need to get my steps in because I know I'm not prepared for my trip coming up in spring.
Okay. Excellent. As we start to wrap this up, you know my wrap-up questions. You're standing in the prettiest spot in Tokyo. Where are you standing and what are you looking at?
I really love the bamboo forest in Kamakura, especially sit there drinking my little tea, eating my little tea cake. It's just super peaceful. Okay.
And I think the special question for you, you're standing in the nerdiest spot in Tokyo. Where are you standing and what are you looking
at? Oh, goodness. Probably Akihabara. It's just chock full of activities, just chock full of stuff you can see. Right outside of Akihabara Station, there is frequently just posters advertising whatever the new hit anime is or whatever the new hit video game. It's just a really fun spot to be if you like looking at nerd stuff.
Excellent. And one thing that makes you laugh and say only in Tokyo.
If you are in Shinjuku in front of the Godzilla store, there is all these little...
You could have just stopped there probably, but okay.
There's all these little stickers on the ground advertising the neighborhood Wi-Fi, and it's got Godzilla in front of it. So you have Godzilla advertising free neighborhood Wi-Fi.
All right. And if you had to summarize Tokyo in just three words, what three words would you use?
Interesting, delicious, and nerdy.
Excellent. Our guest again has been Matthew Yashuk, the nerd tourist. And Matthew, if people wanted to find you online, where's the best place to find you?
The best place to find me right now is the nerd tourist on Instagram. I'm currently working on my website, which will be the Nerd Tourist, but it's not really ready for anyone to go check it out yet.
Okay. When Matthew has his website ready, he's going to send me an email and I'm going to add it to the show notes. So if you're listening to this later on, go check out the show notes and that'll have a link to it as well. Matthew, thank you so much for coming on Amateur Travel.
Oh, thank you for having me, Chris. It was so much fun talking about it.
A special thanks to the patrons of the show who help support Amateur Traveler financially, especially Sherry Shumway, who is the latest patron of the show. Thanks, Sherry. If you're interested in learning more about becoming a patron of the show, go to patreon.com/amateurtraveler. It's been quite a week here with my 97-year-old father in the hospital, so I've got things to do. Wish you well and safe travels. And with that, we're going to end this episode of the show. If you have any questions, send an email to host@amateurtraveler.com, or better yet, leave a comment on this episode at amateurtraveler.com. And thanks so much for listening.